this thing on, because it's getting ready to be on.
Hey guys, welcome to Bell Ringer. On today's episode, our first of 2018, we have the president of the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, Matt Enstis. Throughout the conversation, we talk about building the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, from its beginning days to where it is now, and its symbolism for the entire revitalization of Buffalo. We also, in the beginning of our conversation, talk just a little bit about his time working at Saturday Night Live, a popular TV show that you may or may not have heard of. It was a really good conversation. He's an awesome podcast guest. He hosts his own podcast as well, which you should check out, Talking Cities. And I think that is all that I have to say before we get into the conversation. So I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I did, and thank you very much for listening. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you came to be the head of the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus.
Well, I grew up in Buffalo, and after high school, I went to Hobart College, and after college, I moved to New York. I had a small stint in LA, but really spent time in New York. And my wife and I decided, you know, New York is great. We love it there, but wanted to raise our family back in Buffalo. And so I got offered an opportunity, came and started to actually work up in Niagara Falls area. And that wasn't going necessarily the direction that they told me it was going to go. And so I was asked by a gentleman by the name of Rick Reinhart, who used to work for Tony Masiello, to help get involved to try to figure out how to help build a medical campus and if it was possible. And I started working on it with Rick, and about 3 months into it, Rick moved to Atlanta. It was where he went. And so it was just me, but it was a vision that Tony Masiello wanted to say, why doesn't our city have this? And so that's how I got involved with it. And from day one, I was the first employee to kind of get the entity going, working with some great volunteers, and here we are today.
And day one was 2002?
Yeah, around that time frame. The days are moving, but 2002 is when it really was like, okay, this thing has some legs, let's try to get this going. But in reality, one could argue that it really started to take off in 2005, 2006 is when everybody really started to come together and work with one another.
Right. And I want to talk about the medical campus for almost all of it.
Yeah.
But I did read in your bio that you worked on a set of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And what did you do?
So if you know the show, I worked for a guy by the name of Lorne Michaels. I always tell people I made him popcorn, and once I stopped burning the popcorn, then I got more responsibility. But it was all on the production side, and I was there for 5 years. And it was a great, great learning experience for me. And a lot of people wonder, like, how does that translate? But it was really about how you deal and interact with people. And, you know, the one thing about the show that was pretty amazing was it was in a real compact time frame that it was brought together. And then it was a live show. So it was live. It was real. It was going. And you had to be quick on your feet. And there was just a lot of learning and great experiences that I had there.
Yeah. What years were you there?
So I was in there in the 90s. The best way that when people ask me, it was the last year of Adam Sandler and Chris Farley and Mike Myers and that crew. And then I was with Will Ferrells and the Sherry O'Terrys and the Molly Shannon and that crew afterwards.
That's awesome. That's why, yeah. I asked. I was going to go,
yeah,
Google the cast afterwards.
Yes.
All right. So the actual reason, Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the actual organization that you work for, how it is the umbrella for all the other companies on the campus.
Yeah. So the one thing is the name kind of confuses a lot of people because they think that we do healthcare or research. We don't. Our institutions deliver healthcare and research. What we do, our job is to bring all the institutions there together, get them interacting with one another, and see where there's opportunities and potential collaborations. And that's what we've been doing for many, many years. And we continue to do that. But, you know, we've really evolved. And one of the things that we started to evolve into was, I don't know, it was probably about 6 years ago, we said, you know what, our community really needs an entrepreneurial ecosystem. And we started to build that in the spaces that we have, and we built that out. and started to create this environment. And along then came other things, like you've probably talked with people from 43 North or Z80. They then came into the ecosystem and helped move the ecosystem forward. And that's a big part of what we try to do, is to say, how do we help private sector companies? Now, 43 North and Z80 are on the startup side of things, which is one component. The other component that we're working a lot on now is the maturing companies, and how do we help grow them? The companies that are currently here, how do we help them go to the next level? So that's a big part of what our organization is doing. We also work on how do we engage in community. Community is a big part of what we're doing. When you look across the country, the globe, a lot of medical campuses or university campuses, they focus on their development. But the reality is, you have to figure out, how does it impact the entire community? And we focus on our philosophy, which we call Mutual City. And it's really, at the end of the day, when we make choices for how we're going to grow and develop our campus, we have to take into consideration the impact that it's going to have on community, because everybody needs to thrive and come together.
Right. And the campus is so... it's such a walkable area. That's probably one of the things you guys have kept in mind. And how do you outreach to some of those communities that the campus borders, where so many people are living daily?
You know, walkability, I talked a bit about the entrepreneurial stuff, but the infrastructure, so how people, transportation, how they get to the campus. You know, a lot of people talk about it as parking. We were talking about that earlier. Our goal, it would really be that we don't have to build any more parking on the campus, that... you know, we figure out how to utilize public transit, how we figure out how to use more bike infrastructure, walking infrastructure. And a lot of that has to come back to a little bit where your question was. When we originally started the medical campus, we put representatives from the Fruit Belt neighborhood and the Allentown neighborhood on our board of directors. We also interact with Buffalo Place, which is downtown. And then we're really starting to figure out, you know, the campus interactions are going north. So how do we engage better with the community over there is what we're looking at. So putting a structure in place where community is at the table, constantly doing outreach opportunities to engage with community is a big part of what our team is doing. And one of the things I do have to say about our team is we have real diverse expertise. So you're seeing people who are working on food policy, or working on energy, working on transportation, working on entrepreneurship, working on all these different ideas and concepts that make cities great. That's what we do, and that's how our engagement is coming together.
Right. And on the infrastructure, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, our organization got a tour of Children's Hospital.
Yep.
And there's that great 12th floor view of the city, and Joanne, who was giving us the tour, was showing us some of those corridors that connect over streets, and she called it the coatless campus. You know, like during the winter, employees can be traveling all over without ever having to go outside, and still are walking as well.
Yeah, so we're very fortunate to have had, you know, the Children's Hospital move over there. The University at Buffalo's Medical School just opened there. And a lot of the idea is, how do we connect community? And the connectors are there to support the weather we're having right now, right? Buffalo does have some interesting weather every now and then, and to have those connectors are there, really important. But the other big part is, we really are focused on, as you hit on it earlier, the streetscape. How do we get people out interacting, so it's not just about our four walls that we're in a building? It's, how do I get out? How do I interact in community? And we pay a lot of attention to programming and doing initiatives that are outside. So whether it's yoga in the park, or walking on Wednesdays where we get people out walking, interacting, we believe that this utilization and the interaction of space is super, super important to rebuilding community.
Right. And how, speaking of Children's Hospital, while we're on the topic, how symbolic do you think that move to the medical campus has been for all of Buffalo's revitalization as it moves to the more concentrated
part? Well, I don't know if it's symbolic, but it was just an amazing initiative to get them over there. I think the game changer, more so than Children's Hospital, is the University at Buffalo. If you think about it, the University at Buffalo has gone from roughly 35,000 square feet in 2006 on our campus to over 1 million square feet of space. And when you talk to a lot of people about some of the things that if we could take it back and redo, it would be putting the medical or the University of Buffalo downtown. Well, I believe the university right now is making a lot of headway on getting portions of the university downtown and integrating with what's going on. And so, you know, that's the game changer to me is the University of Buffalo. What was truly amazing about the Children's Hospital was the Kaleida Health System, the years of planning that they went through, and when the day of moving Children's over, that they just did an amazing job, and the community came together and had all were volunteers, and it was just spectacular seeing it. So symbolically, you know, really having Kaleida Health solidified with the majority of their assets on the campus was great, and we're very fortunate to have a great children's hospital in our community.
Right. So Children's and the UB Med School are two of the newest accomplishments, but how much have you seen change over, you know, 15 years since 2002, and what do you attribute that success to?
Well, the change has been, I mean, just from a physical standpoint, we went from 4.5 million square feet to 9 million square feet. So when you start thinking about that, that's, to put it into context, our community from when Roswell Park started in something like 1890-something, started on the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus until 2006, our community built 4.5 million square feet down there. From 2006 until today, we built another 4.5 million square feet. So you take that into context, it really is changing the dynamic of what's going on down there. And it's a real testament to what made it happen was people working together, planning together, communicating on a regular basis. Just the logistics of all of that coming together. If our institutions weren't communicating and working with one another, it would have been a challenge. So we were very, very fortunate that everybody has come to the place that working together, you're better off.
Right. And that's the role your organization plays, yeah, is trying to bring everyone together.
Yeah. And, you know, early on, it was difficult because people didn't understand what the, and you know what, they didn't know what the benefit would be. And then they started to try it a little bit and they saw what the benefit was. And at the highest levels, leadership said, we've got to work together. We're better together. Let's keep trying this. And, you know, while it's not perfect, we're going in the right direction.
Right. I think we were talking about it off mic. I sit on the Communications Works, yeah, Council, which is some marketing folks from a lot of the organizations on the medical campus coming together monthly. And that, even that, just to talk about, a lot of times it goes to what events are people having and how can everybody support each other, I think is always really cool to see. As you know, our office is an on the campus, but for me to peek in on that, it's really awesome to see.
And we want to do more of that stuff. You know, our community engagement, we're getting better. We're not close to perfect, but every day we're getting better at it, and we want to get better at it because for our campus to thrive, every sector, every position needs to be thriving and doing well together. And the only way you're going to do that is if you're constantly communicating across many different disciplines.
Yeah. Do you have the number on how many employees work on the campus right now?
Yeah, I think we're around about 16,000 employees that are there today that's still, you know, growing and transforming. With the medical school as it's moving down. They just had opened up for the first classes on Monday of this week. So you're going to see more transition of faculty and employees and students down to this campus.
And one of those programs you recently held was the expat event for, yep, people that were home for the holidays. I guess tell the folks listening a little bit about what that event was and the intention behind it.
Yeah, well, I'll come to that in a second, and it's more about how we got there. Mm-hmm. When you look at the medical campus, we work very closely in a couple different disciplines. We have a strong presence in transportation, in energy, in entrepreneurship, and obviously healthcare. And what we started to see across all those disciplines was that there was one common denominator as to where the future was going. And the future is around how strong is your technology. And what we started to say was, you know what, let's figure out how do we build out space, how do we create an environment where people in technology want to be, not just in energy or transportation or healthcare or even fintech, for instance, but where do technology people want to be? And that is the environment that we're trying to create in our current innovation center, what we're going to be doing with our future buildings that we're doing. How do we create that environment? And we started to look at it and say, you know what, there's a lot of smart, bright people that are working in this space, but there's a lot of expats out there that we started to connect with that are working at the Googles, the Facebooks, the Apples, the Amazons, and talking to them about, hey, how would we create an environment for technology to thrive? And along those conversations, a lot of people said, wow, that's great. You know, if you really build something like this, I'd think about moving back. And when they started to say that, it started to trigger with me, hey, there's this whole expat network out there that we have not tapped into. And when you go around the country, the world, and you run into someone from Buffalo in the most obscure place you ever go,
right,
they're instantly your best friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this beautiful bond that people from Buffalo have. And so I started to think about it and say, you know what, we've got to really figure out how to focus on expats. And along the way, you know, Carrie in our office was telling me that Jen is leading an initiative here at your organization on figuring out how to connect with expats. So again, back to the collaboration, I'm hoping that we do more together with you guys on the expats because they have such a depth of knowledge. They want to be back in Buffalo. And, you know, we don't always think of them as part of the team, but they're a huge part of the team. And, you know, I know everybody's going after Amazon's new headquarters. And they were looking for large numbers of workforce, people that could be in the workforce there. And, you know, maybe what we have here today, we might not hit that number exactly, but if we connected with all the expats out there that would be willing to move back to Buffalo for a good paying job, we'd blow that number up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what got us to the point of saying, you know what, let's try this. And ironically, going back to you asked me about the beginnings of the campus, in the early days, we held one of these just to say, hey, we're thinking about building this medical campus. And we had like 100 people show up to this thing of just an idea of building a medical campus. And it was great. And it was way back when. So we dusted that playbook off. And hopefully we'll do this on a regular basis moving forward.
Yeah, so folks that came got a tour of the campus. You led the tour.
Yeah, we gave like an overview of just all the stuff that was going on. And and a lot of it was to focus on our institutions are driving force down here with what they do. But we were talking about our shift and our focus towards how are we going to make sure that the technology platform is there. And what I like most about that is this technology platform is, yes, it's for the institutions of the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, but it also allows for an opportunity of all businesses in our community to benefit from all the investment and the growth that's happening on the medical campus.
All right. And kind of where we started our conversation, you living in New York for a few years, in LA, you're almost the person that you're now targeting to be moving back, you know, maybe in a different industry.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's people who have a love of Buffalo that want to be in Buffalo, that truly understand Buffalo, that have learned somewhere else, bring that expertise back. And when you think about it, you know, going somewhere else, looking and seeing what happens there is how you learn, or at least that's how I learn best, is seeing things. And, you know, that's what I love about people from Buffalo. When they come back, they have the passion and the burning desire to make Buffalo truly great.
So you coming back to Buffalo, you said it was, you know, you wanted to start a family.
Yeah.
Right, that was the reason. What would your pitch be to somebody in New York?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of our pitch was raise a family here, great lifestyle, all of that. But that there is an environment here of innovation. So if you're interested in that space, there's an environment here for people who want to innovate on the roots of what Buffalo was built on. And you can actually do it and live a good life. You know, I have a lot of good friends around the country in big cities. And while they love those big cities and I love to go visit them, being truly successful there has its challenges. And when I say truly successful, it's not just in the work environment, it's in your life environment, it's everything around you. The things that we're able to do here, you can't do it in a lot of cities. And so we have to figure out how to thrive and take advantage of those great opportunities.
Yeah, and I think part of the pitch too is that coming to Buffalo, you could be a part of the Renaissance. You can help push the city that you maybe grew up in forward, which is also kind of a fun ask of people.
Yeah, you know, and that was a big part of when I first moved back, you know, thinking about, at first it was I want to do some fun stuff. And then you started to see the changes of, wow, these initiatives that we're doing are really helping change a city for the better. And then it was, okay, now we can bring in other people. And what I like to tell people on a lot of the test initiatives that we're doing is Buffalo is big enough yet small enough that you can get your arms around it and accomplish truly great stuff. Whereas when you go into these big cities, it's really difficult to get your arms around it. And if you go in too small of a city, there's not enough information there. There's not enough support. Whereas in Buffalo, I think we're perfectly situated to have the total package.
All right. So a lot of these people are tech talent. We talked a little bit earlier, touched on entrepreneurialism, but I wanted to get into that further. You talked about wanting to focus also on some maturing companies that maybe grew up in Buffalo and now are branching out. You guys just had the big ACB auctions announcement. How much they're taking up more space in the Innovation Center, is it?
Yeah, so, you know, they're a great company, great people that are bringing technologists back to Buffalo. You know, I run into them in our building. And, you know, seeing a company like that grow and thrive is really phenomenal. You know, George Chamoun is the CEO, you know, and they have other great leaders there. But George, you know, I remember when he started his first company, I don't know, 15 to 20 years ago, and got it going and plugged away. And now he's off leading this company. And when you see those stories and the people coming together to have true success, it's phenomenal. And what our goal is to make sure that we create a seamless environment for companies that have an idea or that are growing like an ACV or that are even a little bit further along to have an environment where they can help and build with one another. And the other big part is all these companies in one geographic location, they help support one another because they're all going through a lot of similar things. And, you know, they're not big enough to have all the resources and expertise in one place, but collectively they can get that. And that is what we're trying to build.
Right. Collectively with the companies and with places like the people from Dig and Z80 and 43 North as well.
Exactly. It's all about that ecosystem that, you know, we've spent the last 10 years cultivating and, you know, and we're starting to see it grow and thrive. And that's what's truly exciting to me. And I think the best part about that was that it wasn't a person or two people. This was a community who came together and worked to cultivate and build this over the last 10 years.
Right. When I talked to Peter Burkowski from 43 North, it was right after Entrepreneur.com had named us the second most booming startup ecosystem. And I asked him about that, and he said, yeah, that's cool, but it's more about what's next. You know, we have to keep our foot on the gas pedal. So to you, what's next for the vision of the Innovation Center or the ecosystem in general?
So to me, it's getting more individuals and more companies focused on technology and supporting one another. It's about having an environment and more space down on our campus where companies, not just from the exterior coming here, but from the local community, helping them grow in innovation and technology. Because the reality is, every company is evolving, and technology is allowing them to do that quicker and faster and more efficiently. And, you know, seeing an environment where you're going to have all of those companies interacting and working with one another on the campus. But the goal would be is that it starts to sprinkle and spread throughout our entire community.
Right. Okay, so you also host a podcast, right? Tell us a little bit about that and when it airs and some of the people you interview.
Yeah, so we do that every Tuesday. We bringing people. My focus is actually people from around the globe. So it's not just local people in Buffalo. I mix it with some local people. But the whole idea is it's called Talking Cities, and it's focused on the rebuilding and the regeneration of cities. And how, especially in this day and age with politics the way they are, cities and the people that are in them need to rise up, work together with one another, and make the changes that they want to see. And that's a big part of what we're doing. So what I like most about it is I'm meeting a lot of interesting people who are coming in, and you know, we'll hear they're in town for a day, and we'll pull them on and talk about cities and their experiences with, you know, the rebirth of the various cities that they were in or how they think about things. But, you know, I'm not so great at social media, doing Twitter and Facebook and chat this and chat that. It's not my thing. It's my kids' thing.
Right.
And one of the things they said to me was, well, you know, you should really do a podcast. And I didn't even know what one was, but around the same time, there's a gentleman by the name of Mark Maron. Do you know, it does a podcast?
Yeah, I was listening to it on my morning commute.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the only reason I knew what a podcast was I had this one day and people were calling me saying, hey, Mark Maron, his guest was just talking about you on his podcast. And it ties all the way back to my days at SNL when somebody was trying to get their big break in show business. And supposedly I got him an interview and got him into show business and he was thanking me for doing this. When I first heard the story, I thought it was that I didn't let him in. Mm-hmm. I didn't get him in, but someone just fixed the story and said that I guess I introduced him and got him a meeting. So it's just funny that, and it's about talking with people and interacting with people, and that's what I like doing.
Do you remember who the guest was?
Yeah, his name was Wyatt.
Wyatt Cenac?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to that one.
So
I'm a fan of the Mark Maron podcast. So
okay, so there it is, and you can be clear on what the true story was because I never actually listened to it.
Okay,
I've had multiple stories as to what the guy was saying. So you can clarify. I'll come back and you can tell me.
All right, that's good. So for your podcast, do you have a favorite episode or one that you would tell some of my listeners? Hey, if you want to start with one, start here.
Who was good? You know, early on, actually, David Gamble was one of my early ones. He was a professor at Harvard that helped us build our master plan, and he was good. Cheryl Hellers was good. It's one of those things that was just, everybody brings a little bit of a different aspect, but it's, and that's what I actually have enjoyed about this, is getting people to talk about cities. And the other funny part is when people first come on these, they're like nervous, but the reality is it's not live. Right. If we don't like something, we can say, cut that, let's try this again. And then once they get off it, they're like, that was a lot of fun. I should do this more often.
Exactly.
And so I've enjoyed doing it. And actually, but I can tell you my favorite episode was my daughter, Molly.
Oh, really?
Molly came on and she kind of interviewed me and we had fun and she's a great kid. And so if you're going to listen to one, Molly kind of interviews me so you learn a bit more about me on that episode.
That's good. I always say that doing the podcast, whoever my guest is, I always end up really just like falling in love with whatever they talk about, and then I go do so much research about it.
Yeah.
Like I should be doing the research beforehand, but
well, you learn stuff and you have fun.
Yeah, I like to come in a little bit fresh, and then I learn I learned Peter Burkowski told me that he was in a band, and I go listen to his band on YouTube or tons of stuff like that.
You're a big fan now.
Yeah, of course. Of course. All right, so we have a blizzard round. Thank you very much for
thanks for having
all your time.
It's great.
Last couple questions, and I heard on your podcast you do a couple quick questions at the end as well.
Yeah, 10 questions on cities and kind of your impact and thoughts on cities. We're actually probably going to change them for this year. We got to come up with new 10 questions.
Really? All right.
Well, we're thinking through.
You're our first episode of 2018, but
okay,
we're keeping ours the same. If you were a flavor of ice cream, what would you be?
Neapolitan.
Nice. Favorite number?
24.
Text or phone call?
Phone call.
Bills or Sabres?
Sabres.
Hiking or skiing?
Hiking.
And chicken wings, drumstick or flat?
Drumstick.
Nice. All right. Thank you very much for being on.
Hey, Greg, it's been great to be here, and thanks for having me.
Bell Ringer is a podcast by Invest Buffalo Niagara, the region's privately funded, nonprofit marketing and economic development organization. Please rate this podcast, follow our social media channels, and read our blog at buffaloniagara.org for the best of Buffalo Niagara. Come grow your business with us.